Tonight on Arena, want to write your novel during lockdown? Marion Keyes has loads of tips. And season 4 of Call My Agent is on the way. #51551 is the text. You can tweet the programme at RTE Arena. In an inspired move to tackle the January blues, novelist Marion Keyes kicked off the new year by offering an online novel writing class via a series of videos posted on her YouTube channel. We're two instalments in at this stage, and Marion, the author of Watermelon, Rachel's Holiday, Grown Ups and many other best-selling novels, breaks down the fundamentals of writing and answers writers' questions in the interactive vlog. Delighted to say that Marion has taken time out of her busy vlogging and writing life to speak to us this evening, and I'm hoping that you'll repeat some of those great pointers that you've given, certainly in the episodes that I've been watching online, Marion. But funnily enough, I'm very interested in how you started things off, Marion, in that you say that you yourself have never done a creative writing course, and some of the language of the creative writing course is very alien to you. Was demystifying on your mind when it came to the whole process of writing? Is that what you wanted to do in this course?
Hello, Sean. How are you? You know, I didn't overthink it. It was, you know, it was the start of January. We were back into severe lockdown. It's a grim, grim month anyway. And January is always a time when people think about doing things that they might have always wanted to do. But obviously, you know, they're not going to be able to go out to night classes or anything this year. So I thought, I have, that's our doorbell. Sorry. the delights of doing things down the line from home and that. I just thought that the one thing I have is a lot of practical experience that I've learned on the job. And I just decided that I would do 4 sessions on Instagram Live on successive Monday nights. And I suppose, I mean, I take a very practical approach to writing. I think an awful lot of people are confused. They think novels are something that are sort of magical and that they almost write themselves. And they think there's an awful lot of mystique about the writing process. And my learned experience is that it is nothing but hard work, really. And on the one hand, people are delighted to hear that, you know, that there is no magic formula, there is no kind of big secret. And on the other hand, they hate me for saying, sit down and write it. If you do not write your book, it will not get written. And the thing that people, I find it very odd that people assume that their first attempts at, you know, a paragraph or a chapter or whatever, when it's nothing like the polished, perfect things that they see in published books, that they don't make the connection between the words in the perfect already published book have been edited and reworked and moved around and deleted and put back, you know, until the author is blue in the face. They expect that, like, their first go should come out publishable.
I'm interesting that you say until the author is blue in the face. That sounds as if you're speaking as an author who is relatively experienced in blue face syndrome. How difficult is it?
Well, I mean, it's not difficult, Sean. I mean, I love my job. But it's, you know, I want to write, especially characterization, it's very important to me. You know, I want to write nuanced, interesting, believable, you know, believably flawed people. And that's a kind of it's a challenging balancing act, because I want my characters to be, most of them, to be likable. But you can't have genuine people who don't have ugly parts to them. I mean, we all have parts of ourselves that we're ashamed of. You know, we all have secrets that we think we're going to take to our grave. And so I work hard at that, you know, trying a characteristic, taking it away, giving them a life experience, seeing if that works. You know, it's a long process of trial and error is what it is. And there is nobody really to say, okay, that works, you know, or to say, yes, go with that. You know, on a day-to-day basis, it's the only arbiter is me. And that can be, I suppose, difficult or lonely at times. All I'm saying is, you know, this is, it's not something that's impossible, but it is something that does take work.
Work and time. And it's one of the things.
And that's fine.
Yeah, and it's one of the things you say very early on in that first episode of the vlog, Marion. You say it's your book. It's not your mother's book. It's not your sister's book. It's not your brother's book. It's not the guy or the woman or man who are all sent to you. Are you really gonna do that?
You think
that's gonna work? It's none of their. They don't own the book. You own the book.
Yes, and once a person realizes that they don't have to make it like anybody else's book, and if they also go into their writing with the pretense that nobody is going to read it except themselves, it gives a person so much freedom to explore things that might feel taboo to them, or that they would be too shy to write, or just too embarrassed if they thought of their mother reading it, or, you know, the person who sits next to them at work. You know, it's yours. It is only for you. And right now, you are the only reader. So let go. You know, write what you truly want to write, and write as if you have no fear of failure, because that's another thing that holds people back. They think, would people get this or whatever? Like, it doesn't matter. You know, what I'm trying to do really is give people delight in doing something creative, rather than regarding it as something monetizable, which I think corrupts the process so much.
Well, that's interesting, isn't it? Because, you know, there is that whole idea, I'm going to sit down now and I'm going to write my bestseller, and that's going to be wonderful. I won't have to worry what's working from home. Who cares? I'm not going to have to worry about that anymore, because I'm going to be so successful. Yeah. Is it important that actually you just really do this for yourself, and wherever the novel goes or wherever the writing goes, let it go there? Don't be thinking about the product before you're even halfway through the process.
Absolutely, Sean. I mean, I think we can look at kind of books that have broken through and have become like real surprise bestsellers, you know, like unusual books, like, say, for example, you know, the Adrian Mole books. If Sue Townsend had decided that she was going to write a bestseller by writing what everybody else wrote, it wasn't going to work. But like, she took a punt. She went out there with her unique idiosyncratic voice, and she created a character that people adored. But if she hadn't taken that risk, that would never have happened. You know, I think it's very, very important that that people step back from what they think a bestseller is, because, you know, as my friend Louise O'Neill says, you know, if people knew the formula for what a bestseller was going to be, then publishers would only ever publish bestsellers. But publishing doesn't work like that, and readers aren't like that. Readers take unusual books to their heart, but it's not something that you can ever plan for. It is in no way scientific.
Let me ask you some of the specifics, because you really do get into the nuts and bolts of things, which I thought was one of the really attractive things about the episode that I watched in particular. We were talking the other night here in the programme about an Australian writer, Chris Hammer, who's written a book called Trust. And he has a term where he says some writers are plotters and some writers are pantsers. And pantsers are people who write by the seat of their pants.
Seat of their pants, yeah.
So which are you, and does it matter when it comes to writing?
I'm a pantser, and it absolutely doesn't matter. You know, I have friends who know exactly what's going to happen in every single chapter before they write the first word. And they need that framework. They need that security. That, for me, I feel like I'm going to start hyperventilating. It sounds like I'm filling in my census form. I mean, there's no freedom in that. There's no surprises in it. And the thing is, if you create your characters well enough, if they are nuanced enough and interesting enough, the appropriate plot will appear. And I think the idea of rules should be done away with. Like, you know, people were coming with all these things of like, how many words should there be to a chapter? You know, and in which chapter should you begin your final climactic scene of the novel? And like, I have done none of those. Yeah. I knew nothing about those things. And it really saddens me. Or people want to know, you know, how much percent of the book should be dialogue? Sure, like, I haven't a clue.
Yeah.
You know, those rules are only holding people back, I think, rather than because they're not rules. I mean, I've never heard of them.
Yeah, you can't measure a book in those forms. But one thing you can measure is the number of people that have been tuning into you. 5,500 people live. I mean, for a vlog, that is a huge number of people. But even more impressive, 80,000 people tuned in afterwards. You put them out live on your Instagram on a Monday night, and then they're available afterwards. And in fact, the first two are up on the RTE Culture website at the moment.
Oh, are they?
They are, yeah, for people to watch them there and on your own YouTube channel. Like 80,000 people, that's a lot of people who are interested in writing books.
I mean, it's January, Sean. Do you know what I mean? We're in a pandemic. Like, you know, people have nothing to do. But I'm happy because, like, if people are getting pleasure out of it, and I've been putting writing prompts up every single day on both my Instagram and Twitter, you know, and I've given daily challenges. And people have been doing them. And a lot of people, I mean, I think people who have been furloughed or who are unemployed at the moment say that they look forward to seeing them in the morning because it gives, you know, a structure to their day. And that makes me incredibly happy. You know, if people are getting enjoyment, that's all I want.
Yeah, because the enjoying of the writing, it's the process here that really you're interested in getting people involved. And what's the exercise you have for tonight? This is one on character.
It is, yeah. We're doing characterization this week. So Tuesday, I asked people to put together a list of 20 characteristics for, you know, a character that they're going to write. And today, I gave them a fairly easy starter to write a scene of about 400, 500 words where their character, whoever they are, has just received some kind of uplifting news after a spell of kind of really grim bad fortune. Tomorrow's one is going to be trickier. It's a moral dilemma one tomorrow. But I think for people who have never written, or people who've never really thought about how one creates a character in a book, it's a good way to learn, because a lot of people have this thing that, like, the characters spring fully formed from some magic place in the universe. You know, it comes via the universe through your head and out, you know, onto your keyboard. It absolutely doesn't. You have to build a character like you would build a wall. It's trial and error. It's bits and pieces, you know, and it's hard work.
And I guess what you have to do in the case of a character, say, for example, is that maybe you put them into 25 different situations, one of which might make it into your final novel.
Or
none of which might make it into your...
But exactly.
You all the time you're digging, looking for to find more out
That's
about
right.
more and more out about them.
Yeah, it's information. Like... Exactly. You know, none of the 25 situations might work, but you know then at least what your character isn't. And I mean, for me as a pantser, that's how I find out who people are.
The other question that I think is a very important one that you address in the episode that I watched as well is this idea of point of view. Who's telling the story here? Whose story is and how are they telling their story? That's a vital aspect to get or to play around with to come to decide what way you're going to do it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you decide to go with a first-person narrative, it can be chatty, it can be engaging, like there's a real intimate bond between the writer and the reader. But it also means that it's very limited because the narrator can only tell you what they know. And if they're human, which they usually are, you know, their knowledge about what's going on around them is fairly limited. Whereas if you go with third person, you can go with an omniscient third person who knows everything. That doesn't attract me as much. It often comes across to me as, you know, as a quite kind of a smug know-all type of a voice. But it's entirely down to the writer. I mean, that's the beauty of it, that you can do, as I've done in some novels, is, you know, to have three main characters and, you know, one as a first person and the other two are, there's a phrase that the creative writing students were using where it is a third person, but you're inside their head. So it's sort of a first person, third person mashup.
Yeah. So it's about playing around with those things and seeing what works for the story you're going to tell. Are you surprised, delighted with the numbers that you're getting?
I mean, I'm thrilled because I had no idea. Like, I mean, I did it just thinking, sure, look, I'll give it a go. And if nobody is interested, grand. You know, and I thought maybe a couple of hundred people would might get something out of it. Yeah, and I'm really pleased because, like, people have been very good to me, and I feel it's really nice to be able to do something that is taking people's minds off the current unpleasantness for a little while.
And when it's going out live, the questions come in live and you respond to them, and you also have some questions that people have sent to you previous to that on Instagram or on Twitter or whatever platform. That's how you work the hour-long lesson,
I do,
as it were.
Yeah. I mean, what I'm talking about is entirely shaped about what people want to know. And as you say, the questions are coming in on the screen as I'm talking, but I'm not great being old. I'm not like those young people who can read the screen and think immediately. I'm not quick enough to do that, which is kind of maybe frustrating for people who want me to elaborate on something I've said, but their words have shot off the screen before I've seen them properly. And sure, look it, it is what it is.
Well, it's certainly very enjoyable from what I've seen of it so far. You've done plot and character. What's happening next Monday?
We're having dialogue. Hang on till I think now. We're having dialogue, editing. Oh, God, there's three different things. I'm sorry, I decided it today now. And then the final week would be editing, getting published, that sort of thing.
Right. Well, okay. Listen, Marion, it's been lovely to talk to you this evening
at
the first
too.
Level. Happy New Year to you. And it really is a lovely thing that you're doing. And you're sending it out there into the ether for people to watch. And that in itself is a huge gift for you to share your talents like that with those who might even just want to write for a way of filling in these awful days that we're living through.
Yeah.
Look after yourself, Marion. Great to speak with you.
You too. Thanks a million. Mind yourself.
You
bye.
Too.
Bye-bye.
That's Marion Keyes there. And Marion's writing class can be seen live on her Instagram Live Mondays at 7:30. Or maybe I suggest that you catch up on YouTube a little bit later on, as you might want to stay with me until 8 o'clock on a Monday evening. You'll find those catch-ups on rteculture.ie.